hear your drop.
Sweetie.
Hey everyone, believe it or not, I'm Wah.
And I'm Chris, and welcome to DocuSweeties.
We're two longtime friends who discuss the riveting and sometimes trashy world of reality TV and docuseries.
Yes, but through our own lens, which can be fully realized in human form or just sort of like a blip in space, not knowing whether we are that or something else, very existential-like, but at the end of the day, hopefully mildly sweet. Hi!
Hello, hello. So for those that you of you on Patreon at patreon.com/docuSweeties for $10 a month, you'll notice that my face is not there. So it's because I'm in a place that might not have the best service. So this is just going to be an audio only for you, but you do get Chris's lovely face. And if you notice that, you know, her hair is straight and, you know, thick, and she's got eyelashes. She's giving a really just like casual look right now of happiness and glee. And right now we are talking 90 Day Fiancé, Happily Ever After, Season 8, Episode 4, The Boy Who Cried Divorce.
I'm back.
Chris, that was an interesting array of facial expressions and emotions. And only those who go to patreon.com/docuSweeties for $10 a month will be able to see it. Okay. So
Never looked my best.
Never. You know? The boy who cried wolf divorce is Mahmoud, who was just surprisingly in such a little part of this show, just like a little bitty section.
Boy, did we get sharped as well. We got sharped with that situation. So obviously we knew they got in this fight on the pier, and we knew it was because Nicole had witnessed Mahmoud take in another lady that's obviously of this faith and wearing a hijab, and she perceived his reaction as being extraordinarily overt and like to the point that it's like disrespectful of her, and that his reaction was rooted in a sexual desire that was palpable to her, that it wasn't just, you know, like an act of familiarity or like comfort or like, oh, or just curiosity. Like she really like went hard into like basically telling us that she could see the boner that he got from seeing this lady. I mean,
yeah, you know what it is? It's, you know, in the old cartoons from the 70s is when like the dog sees a beautiful woman and the eyes bug out in hearts and the tongue rolls down on the ground and like the whole body just like has electric shock and just like jumps in the air. That's exactly what him seeing somebody who emulated a piece of home look like to her.
Yeah,
and she just is not having that shit. So she calls him and he's like walked away at this point. He's like, I'm done. I'll go home then. And so he starts walking. He goes left. He goes right, honey. He's just like crossing the streets at anywhere that he wants to. And she's like, well, you can't just walk away in a foreign country. And he's like, wait, in fact, I can.
Can I say the thing? So this is what happened. Last thing we had gotten last week was her being like, she calls him and he's like, where are you? He's like, I took Lyft. And she's like, you took a Lyft? So that's how I thought we got sharped, because I was like, oh my God, he got in a Lyft and just took home. But no, on this episode, we get her calling him and she's like, what happened? He's like, I took a Lyft. And she's like, you took a Lyft? I don't even know what a Lyft is. And it's like, well, you're saying it like you do, but okay. But also, you don't know what a Lyft is, Nicole? You're 40. You don't know what a Lyft is? You lived in LA before. You don't know what a Lyft is? You don't Uber or Lyft? You never just only Uber? I don't know like what it was. But anyway, then he was like, no, left. Okay, so sorry. I just wanted to give. That's where I got sharped, because I was so excited that he got in a Lyft, but that's not what happened. Okay, and didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
I did not see that from last time on. And so when she was confused about the Lyft / left, I got it in real time. And then she says, how do you even know what a Lyft is? And then she realized that it's not him getting in a Lyft. It is him taking a Lyft. And so I love it when I can tell that people have learned English because they read a lot And sometimes they interpret this, the pronunciation of the word, in a very interested way. And I feel like he did that with left and lift. You know what I mean? And he's just like, listen, this is, I don't know what the word is, but I know it starts with an L and it has maybe an I, maybe an E, but then definitely an FT, you know, maybe a Y. So,
except at the same time.
She finds him and they get back to the house and apparently have, and you can fill in the blanks if I'm missing some part, having some, they had a good night. And then the next morning they wake up and it's again, a hellish fight. It's a hellish house of fights. And it's because she's wearing a dress that shows, she says a little part of her back. It has several holes going all down her back. You know what I mean? Just like, with buttons all down her back, Miss Mary Black. And so, and in between those buttons is gaping holes, in, including one that were in which you can see her brassiere. Now, I think there's ways that she could have fixed it, Chris.
Yeah, a couple of things I just want to say. A, when we got this flashback to him being a womanizer back in Egypt, she had that blonde hair, honey, and I'm just like, oh, I miss that blonde hair over this, like, you know, flaming red Cheeto hair. But then, yes, we go the next day. She's doing some sort of weaving, we see. It's on this basket, and I mean, you know, she's an artist, you know, and, like, I'll give it to her. I don't know exactly the medium she's doing, but it's like this big basket, and it has, obviously, some sort of yarn, some sort of honey, like, string around it, and what from that she's going to do, I not know, you know, but besides that, getting this fight is for sure. She is, she wants to have all of her friends meet him, which I think is like, you know, it's interesting. So I'm like, is this like the first full day? Like, okay, the first full day was the fight in the pier, and the second full day is like, meet your friends. Is that what it is? That's gonna let this man. Yeah, like, I would just be, I think this is where, maybe because I'm old now, I'd be like, oh no, I literally needed a day to get on a different time clock before you ransack the world with, like, my personality. Like, you know, like, I don't know if that producers are leading us down, like, a fool's errand that this is, like, not the time frame, but I always thought that was, like, I don't know, I give him some grace there. He's just like, look, bitch, I grew up thinking that I was, oh, for sure, having a wife that was going to cover up, for sure, like, for sure. And then you told me you were fully into it. And then now I'm here. What do you want?
Yeah. He's being very emotionally open in this episode. He says that he needs time. And Nicole is like, no, I don't want you to have time. I want you to get over the fact that you think that women should be dressed modestly. And I want you to get over it immediately. Okay. I need you to get over it because we are in land of the free, insert sound of an eagle screeching across the sky. And I should be able to wear what I want that makes me the most comfortable, especially in her own house. So the fact is that he got mad at her for even trying the dress on. And I guess she felt like because he was upset that she should just continue with the dress. And it's a cute outfit. It is. It's just not modest. But you know how she could have made it modest? She could have put like a some kind of form-fitting, you know, shirt underneath it. I don't know. She's a clever gal. She could have found something that had a little lace, a little nude lace situation. Even that wouldn't have been okay, but at least it would have been a compromise. And then she could have, you know, she ends up for sure putting on a very 70s jacket with a lot of fur around the collar, which was beautiful. So, I mean, she does have style and she just doesn't want to forgo the style. But I guess, again, how we said it in last seasons, anytime we see Nicole, that all she has to do is talk to Shida. All she has to do is talk to Shida and find the ways that she's able to make her style still go and still modest. There's a girl on TikTok that I follow right now who, like, will show off a little, like, spaghetti strap dress. And she's like, watch me as I make it modest. And she puts together the cutest outfits. Now, I get it. It's not Nicole's fashion. I'm not trying to force her to do something she doesn't want to do. I'm just saying that there are options besides her wearing that, you know, whole bikini outfit that she had on to go swimming in Egypt. So Mahmoud, at this time, because of what she's wearing, is refusing to go meet her friends. Now, this is where he has fucked up. She's fucked up by even mentioning the fact that they should be going to see his friends, or her friends, because it's too soon. Like, he needed a full 2 weeks in LA before he meets her friend. Hell, a month would have been even better. Just to allow us some time for them to go out, see the city together, really get to know each other, and, you know, create that bond. But no, I guess the producers are on the schedule. I'm not sure. So she then goes to with her friends, and he refuses at this point. He refuses to go, and she is so shocked that he's refusing to go. And she believes that it's because of her eyelet dress, or her dress in the back that has the dress is all over the place. I mean, it's cute, but let me tell you why it's all over the place. Because it is like a hot pink, not a super hot pink, but like a definite, like, not baby pink one too. It has a rose pattern on it. Okay. Not only does it have a rose pattern, three, it's got ruching all up it. And it's like a three-quarter sleeve. And then fourth, fifth is the back. The back of it is like a pearl button, maybe 2 inches, then another pearl button, and then maybe 2 inches, another pearl button. So it's that all the way down to the lower back. And so it has a lot of elements going for it. Now, it's cute, but I can only say it would only fit one size of one type of body type. And three, her hair clashes with it tremendously. Okay, but then she puts on this brown 70s coat with a fur ruffle, and she goes out to meet her friends. And that is the end of their segment. But I mean, really, this is a crazy situation.
And that, yeah, it was, she made the point that she said he would have married her as a Christian, but she converted to make him happy. But I was like, you didn't, well, moot point. Okay, so let's move on.
Yeah, you didn't make him happy though. You didn't do the thing you said.
Yeah,
you
I was like, well, I don't know about that one.
What did you think of her dress?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's interesting because I get that she's incredibly creative and artistic and expressive through her clothes. She's like Debbie, you know, like in a way, she, you know, like, yeah. They're. And so to me, I don't, like, if Debbie was told, like, hey, you know what, make me, like, you should think about, or you know what make me happy for you never to wear anything that makes you happy ever again. Debbie be like, double hell no. And Nicole wasn't two. Nicole was 40, pretty much. You know, she's 40 now. I don't know. She's like 35 when she made the call to, like, forego every part of her personality prior, which was to have an eccentric style for the hijab. Now, I wouldn't have done it. And if she had friends, I think that anyone would have been like, you, Nicole, the one that, like, this is your thing? Okay.
Yeah.
You know, but she didn't have the friends, or no one cared, or she was desperate for love, or whatever it was. But she made a bunch of bad choices. The fact that she was like, he would have married me if I was just, like, didn't convert. I was like, well.
Yeah. Yeah. No, right? That's very, very true. She's dumb is really what that is. Okay.
We all make mistakes.
Speaking of a mistake, next couple that we're going to talk about is Rob and Sophie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. I feel so bad for Sophie. She's made mistakes, but she's young. She's 22. She thinks it's right. And when she says to Callum about all the exes, she's like, no, but this is not an ex. This is my husband. And I was like, bitch, that makes it worse. Okay. So, with Robin Sophie, she is at the poolside, hopefully with lots of SPF on. I mean, maybe it's fine because that foundation she's wearing is like two shades lighter than her. And she's sitting around with K with an E, not a Y. If you thought it was a Y like I did, you're wrong. It's K with an E because she's cool and young and hip. So it's K-A-E. Mm-hmm, and a friend named Jackie and another friend named Silvana. I don't know. But Silvana is wearing some pants that I need. Not right now, maybe not with this body, maybe if you had a little tummy control, but like Silvana is wearing like some sheer pants with like a suns out, buns out bikini bottom, and I was here for it. All the girls are cute. They're like poolside, but not in the pool, which is, I was going to say, a very LA thing to do, but I'm also like, this is not LA, this is Austin. So maybe a very Austin thing to do, I don't know. And they're talking about the state of Sophie's marriage and Rob's behavior and Colm coming to the US. Now they all agree that Colm is into Sophie to a certain extent, or at least that's mm-hmm. what Sophie wants them to believe. Mm-hmm, but then when Rob comes, she wants it to be a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, go.
Yeah, no, it's just like, it's so interesting. It's like, all the friends hate Rob so much that they're all into like being like, oh my God, tell us about Kami. So honey, totally wants to fuck you. Like, why would he come? And then when Rob gets there and he's like, yeah, I'm a little like worried about this. I'm like, why would you, Rob? You're totally dumb to be insecure. Yeah, you fucking jealous, insecure asshole. You're so dumb, Rob. Hey, get it, Colm. You know, it's that's what I feel like the general situation is, right?
Well, I mean, yes, but I somehow feel like they have a right to be like that. It's just because I hate Rob. But yeah, like
Claire would agree. Honey, Claire would be like, right. You know?
Yeah, I don't like Rob. So, but I think the part that makes me mad is that Rob is like, Colm looks like he thinks he's better than me. And I'm like, okay.
Project.
Okay.
Much?
Yeah.
Project much.
A hit dog will holler. Like, it is very, very telling. And at that immediately, like everything up until now, I was like, oh, Rob is still really hot. But let me tell you, this episode ruined it for two things. One, he came in boldly with his shirt open with nothing worth showing. And B.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
He made mention that he thought someone else thought that they were better. And I was like, ugh, I hate when people say that. And also, what is this insecurity you have about folks who think they're better or maybe better? Like, what that? Shut up. This isn't the British Times. You aren't a fucking, no one's an aristocrat and someone else is a commoner. Shut up.
I completely agree with you. Like, the other thing about it is, you know, he didn't do anything to him at the time. Now, Rob is like, why would a grown-ass man come to visit a wife? And then everyone tries to push his narrative. Like, he's a tourer. Like, he's big into touring places. And he was just like, I've never been to America. I know someone in Austin. I'm going to come. Now, I think this is hilarious because Rob has never felt good enough for Sophie. And literally by anyone or anything, by the way that he's like provided for her or her mom's like aspects or like, you know, the way that not the duvet. And so to have like this guy come and basically do nothing to him, be like, hi, nice to meet you. And be like, I saw the way he looked at me. It's just so like, woo, it's cringy. Now, I don't know. I feel like do you think they're best friends and have been best friends for a long time? And what do you think went down in Portugal? And you like this Portugal moment of he's like, why are you guys speaking about Portugal? She's like, just that you would love it. It's so beautiful. You know, and he's like, I've never been to Portugal.
Yeah. So what it is that Rob is of, I guess, the contingency of Americans who have no fancy desire to ever really leave the country. And if they are going to leave the country, they're going to go to Canada. They may go to Mexico to a resort because that's real close. But they definitely don't have any designs or thoughts about being a person who flies across the pond. You know? So like that already tells me who he is. And that makes me go, I couldn't be with you. I could not be in a relationship with you. Like what you're saying doesn't make any sense because it makes perfect sense to me. If you had a friend who lived in a foreign country, why would you not go and stay with them at least one time? Like, this is the only time you're going to have free room and board or at least something, a tour guide, someone who you know there. And you would not take advantage of that and go and see them. So the fact that he can't understand that is so wild to me. And now lets me know there's just a contingency of people who behave that way, who believe this and behave that way and can't understand why anyone else would do something like that.
You're right.
And then as far as Portugal goes, I thought that was a real dick move. That was very an early 20s. See, like Rob is 32 and he's being punked by a couple of 20 somethings. because they are just there making him feel bad about himself. Yes. And that just shows me that he needs to date within what he feels is his realm and not try to go outside of that and then force a girl to feel bad about having her own money or quote unquote coming from money. That's just his insecurity. It's like Rob hates rich people so much that he got in a relationship once so he could be mean to her. Like, that is what it feels like to me. Like, there's no other reason for him to date outside of his realm if he's going to act this way. So they're just like, these 20 somethings are beating up on him. It was rude for Colm to bring it up because Colm knew that would make stupid ass Rob upset, because if he was more of a man, he wouldn't be. And then for him to actually mention when we dated, that was another bitch move on Colm's part, because when you dated, we were like 16 to 17. The fact that Rob even holds any room for a 16, 17 year old relationship to affect his grown man relationship is wild. He's stunted. And we already knew he was stunted, but everything about this interaction lets me know that there is an arrested development for him. And that is 23. Because a 32 year old would not think, oh yeah, you dated that guy when you weren't even legal. When you both were under the domain of your parents. Now, I'm jealous. No, Rob, you don't get jealous of children.
Yes, no. And you also aren't children, but he is unfortunately doing both. You know what I'm saying? At an older, seasoned age. It is just hilarious. Yeah, all of her friends are such a cast of characters. Savannah, did you see that Savannah, honey?
I think that's Savannah that I was talking about. Yeah, with the see-through pants.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I did see her, girl. What are you going to say about her?
Nothing.
Rude.
But boy, were those pants see-through. And boy, was that boy was that ass assin'. You know, like that ass was absolutely assin'. You know, I've never seen an ass like ass like that on TV for a hot ass second, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, let's move on. Kay is too much for me. Do you want to move on to Manuel and Ashley?
Sure.
Okay. So we start, he turns on the music. It's a Spanish bop. She starts gyrating to like a snake to it. He's into it. Now here is the rub, you know, he's had to absolutely acquiesce to her witchy ways, and he let it be known that he is Catholic, honey. So it's time for her to, you know, get some Catholic experience, because she also has to go to visit his family, and they are just like heavily Catholic. It's a whole part of like the culture, and I'm like that, you know, I get that. So she has her first time there, and she's like, the name of the church is Our Lady of Perpetual Help. Yeah. And I think that's so funny. Like, I think that like the Our Lady of Perpetual Help makes me feel like that one friend of yours that just like is constantly in drama or like needs something. Are you like, you see their phone call, you're like, absolutely goddamn not right now, honey. Like, that's like the Our Lady of Perpetual Help. Like, she needs your help. She needs something. You're like, Jesus, you're not paying my fucking life salary. Like, take it down a notch. But it's just such a funny name, you know? Like, I'm assuming that's, I miss Our Lady Guadalupe, you know, or our Mother Mary, or Our Lady Queen of Angels. There's so many ways to say, like, you know, Mary, the mom of Jesus, like the lady that we know that mom Jesus. And like, you know, I went to school. This is like, I went to Our Lady Queen of Angels school. Then the high school I went to was Mater Dei, which is like, you know, my God or our God or whatever in Latin. My dad went to Notre Dame, which is like Our Lady, which is basically Our Lady. Like, they just love saying, you know, like the lady of the house. And so Lady of Perpetual Help, it's just, I don't know. It's funny to me. Ashley's like, a lot of trauma from religious people and specifically Catholics. And I'm like, yeah, for sure. But not just specific. I don't think that is specifically Catholics over every other extreme, you know, religion. I feel like there's so many reformed, like, Mormons, for instance. So like me, there's a lot of people that were like from heavy, you know, Christian, non-denominational, like maybe Baptist or whatever, like places. There's definitely people that were, you know, like heavily Islamic or whatever, that like, you know, had some trauma from like certain religious situations that they, you know, don't want to do in their adulthood. So I felt like she put that on the Catholics, and I didn't believe it. I didn't want it. But.
So speaking of religious trauma, the pastor of the church that I went to for all of my Christian life, Cecil L. Chip Murray passed away on Friday.
No.
Everybody in the community is upset. I'm at my brother's house right now, and we were watching news, like locals, Channel 7 news, and they had a little like talk about it. Like they did a little like, you know, interviewing of the church parishioners. And so my mom was very like upset or whatever on Saturday. And when she told me, she was like crying or something. And I was like, girl, you have not talked to that man or seen that man in at least 20 years. So everyone just relax. but I think he died. Rest in peace. Rest in power, Reverend Murray, Pastor Murray. And he was a good guy. I stayed with the church as long as he was there, and then I left and they did some things I didn't like, so I bounced. So she does specifically call out Catholics, and I guess maybe in her brand of witchery, she's dealt with a lot of folks who the fact that she's like, I don't know anything about Catholicism makes me go, but like, what do you know about? Are you saying that your mother never took you to any church, not even specifically a Black church? Because like, yes, Catholicism is very, the Catholic mass is like stupid boring compared to the church I went to. Like,
I believe that.
Like, just like I was, when I went to church with my friend, I was like, wow, why would you come back here week after week? But that's because I only went to church for the theatrics. So therein lies the rub. But I did love the fact that she went, especially with that high ass, like 80 side pony. And
yes, she did. I loved it.
That they sat in the front, and I was really hoping that we'd hear a little bit. Nana, Father of Santana,
you wanted what the Sister Act singers and the remix are doing. Yeah, that was already revolutionary. They don't do that.
But that's what I know about the Catholic Church too. Maggie Smith as the Reverend Mother.
Oh, do you want the real version? Or do you want the sped up version? Because there's not ever going to be a sped up version.
So they wouldn't do the remix?
No.
See, boring. Okay. Anyways, I thought that it was cute. And she was like, what's that book? I'm like, bitch, you think it's a grimoire? Like it's a book of spells? What the hell do you think it is?
No, I didn't do you believe that. Come on. And it's only because it's like, I mean, listen, I mean, like, I know that if I walked, I mean, if I went to a temple that was like Islamic faith and I saw a book, I'd be like, Quran? Just, you know, like, you know, so I'm telling you this, like, this woman doesn't know a Bible. I mean, again, and it's like not even just Catholic. It's like all Bibles are literally everywhere. Trump's selling one right now. I'm just saying. I mean, come on, you know?
Yeah. No, that was crazy. She did that too. And then she's like, it was interesting with all the ups and downs and the kneeling. And he's like, yes, good exercise. Now here's the truth. Manuel hasn't stepped to his pinky toe in a church since his last child's baptism. And he hasn't actually been as a parishioner since he did his like first communion. Like he's not fooling anybody with his Catholic Church nonsense. Now we did know that there were some people who wanted to be recorded by TLC in his Catholic Church. And there were other folks who did not. By the blurred out faces.
Yeah.
Let me tell you who did.
Oh,
the deacon, Chris. What did you think of him?
Oh, no, I didn't see that. Oh, you mean the guy that came over?
Yeah, he said he was a deacon, even though I thought that was a priest. Wrong. Yeah, I know.
I know.
And they kept saying deacon. And I was like, no, that deacon is not in that church.
No, there is deacons.
Oh.
Deacon is like a priest's helper. The priest's helper. Priest's secondhand man, the deacon. You know?
Okay. Yeah.
Vice I didn't priest.
Know that was, deacon. I didn't know that. Vice priest.
Yeah. They can be married and stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah. Like if you want to be married and you want to get down on a Sunday, deacon, you know? Okay. So, anyway, basically he was very chatty, very, very, smiley, you know, excited to be on camera, had the voice for it. And he does his absolute best to basically let Ashley know that in the house of the Lord, she's considered a satanic demon. So just knows totally just so you know, like you're into the tarot and like palm readings and I'm sorry, did you say Akashic records? Is that what I just heard? What? And then like, you know, like he's hearing all this and he's like astrology, like maybe like, you know, like Catholics, like, if you're a priest, like, you know, you're not even, I don't know, you could just maybe be like, well, the Pisces. He's like, you mean just the Pisces, just in this, just the star pattern, right? Just that's okay. We're not gonna even say like Pisces is how you should live your life, because you can't serve more than one God in that world, honey. And the God's the one. And even amongst that, the Catholics have, you know, fought for years with other sects of whether the Trinity is even three gods, one God, and how you even deal with all that. That's how intense this shit is for them. You know, like, that's broken up families and countries. I don't even know, God bless. So he does his absolute best to be like, you're going to have to put that all on the fucking back burner. And honestly, I never see the problem of just being flexible in certain spaces so that you make everyone feel comfortable, especially the people that are hosting you in their space, as long as they're not abusing you. Is it if it's just asking you to not do the most of like something that shouldn't be the biggest part of you, which is just like either your job or your religion, shouldn't be the biggest part of you. It really shouldn't.
Yeah. She should also go there with the same energy in which she would like to receive as a witch, right? Like,
just openness and what?
Yeah. Just go there and be open. And it's not something that needs to be spoken about. Like, she can say, if they're like, what do you do for work? She's like, oh, I do astrology and read tarot cards. And like, I just don't know. Was everybody going to be like demon immediately if she says that? Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. You know, I think there's ways she could say it without coming off as being, but it's because she's acting so aloof and so like, well, everyone else just accepts me when I tell them I'm a witch. I'm like, you see Catholics every day, girl. Like, no one is like thinking this terribly about you. They may go, oh, she's kooky, but you mm-hmm. know, it's just crazy that he actually thinks too. But this is not the funniest part of this episode. And I thought it was the best part for me. Because it's a study in how, like, you should be in life. And I strive to be this because I think that it is just a helpful way to be. So they're in the car and they're going to his family's house. Or they're doing something that leads me to believe that they're going towards his family's house. Okay. And so she's like, where's our first stop? And he's like, New York City. And she's like, okay. And then I think she says what part of New York City, but I know Jonathan's in New York City, I believe. And then he's like, well, then afterwards we're going to Newark. And she's like, wait, yeah. Newark? Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. in New Jersey. And mm-hmm. he's like, what? It's not New York? And she's like, no shit. The whole time, this man could have been saying Newark, mm-hmm. but she thought he was saying New York. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. she's like, well, everything is planned for New York. We'll figure that out. And she just like moved on. And I loved that moment. I loved it. I just love it because, go ahead.
Well, thank God for her. And this is what I was going to say, like, maybe she probably, because she's from Rochester. So she already has the wherewithal that, like, where do I want to stay? New York and have like a 40-minute little like train into Newark? Or do I, you know, or Newark? And I get maybe you would want to fly to Newark over JFK. That's the rub if they were flying out of JFK. But, you know, if I would stay in the city over Newark, is what I'm saying.
Go ahead. Oh, yeah. I mean, I guess it would depend on, like, I'm sure they're staying with them for a week and have things planned. You know what I mean? So you're going to city every single day back and forth. Ooh. So, yeah. So, yeah. So she... So they have that like moment of like where it's just like a moment of like a misunderstanding, but it's not the end of the world. And I want that for me. Like, you know, sometimes I can be so hard pressed in all of my like ideas that I have a hard time like moving once I've said something in my head. And so I just love that it was a study for me to kind of be more go with the flow. But Newark is hilarious. She's like, that's un diferente estado. Estado diferente. And he's like, oh.
She watched his little mouth like Newark, New York, New York, Newark, New York. He just like, oh, those are two, like, yeah, he just kept hearing, oh, sweet little boo, you know?
I know. It's so cute. I thought little,
yeah, but you know what? I love them, obviously. They're the fucking best, and I want the best for them, and I think they're getting the best for them. Like, I feel like, I think they're going to be, like, a star couple, and I really obviously want this for them. I really also I'm excited about them being on the show as like a positive couple, you know, like where the drama comes truly from two different people in so different ways. Like not just the, of course, the culture, of course, the religion, you know, like social economic situations, you know, like that is very dramatic, you know? So he doesn't yell, you know? Yes. Sometimes she cries, but it's not like Jasmine, you know, like, I don't know. So I'm just so happy. I'm so happy we have them. I'm so appreciative.
Yeah, me too. It's like Mahmood and Nicole bring me down. Gino and Jasmine bring me down. Rob and Sophie don't do so much because still keep finding like stupid stuff and we get to make fun of Rob. But like, you know, and then they showed us a preview that we're getting Patrick and Thais still. Totally forgot about them.
I know. But wait, do you think they're going to get Angela and Michael off? Because we haven't even...
Oh, my God, I forgot about them, too.
But we got Angela at the very beginning, right? Did I make that, like, in a fever dream?
Fever dream. Yeah. Okay. Let's move on to Emily and Kobe.
I don't know why. I swear. I was like, isn't there a scene in the beginning where she was, like, talking on the phone and, like, one of her blobbity blues came running up and was like, and she was like, Michael's going to be here, maybe. I don't know. Nope. No, it didn't happen. Okay.
I don't remember it. Let someone tell us if I'm wrong.
Okay. Emily and Kobe?
Well, actually, let's just do Gino and Jasmine, right? And then let's end with something interesting.
Okay. She takes her like a box and she's going to ship things off to Panama City, Panama. It's a little care package for the boys. She's feeling bad because she like left them without really like making sure that they'd be able to come to America. And, you know, Gino is being whatever. Now so basically that's what's happening. And then Michelle comes in, who's Dana's wife. Now, when this happens is very interesting. Michelle comes in and obviously Jasmine's like, she's my new best friend, blah, blue, blobbity blue, like that's who I have. And at this point I was just kind of like, I feel like this is fake. I feel like this is fake drama. And I think that she's gotten really good at crying. So like, because then it just seems so like obvious, like why would you, if you really didn't want to ever fucking see Gino again because what he did, the last thing you'd want to do is see his dumb cousin's wife.
Well, Chris, that's her best friend.
Just so convenient. What? Like, that's so convenient. Like, no, she's not. No, she's not. Just like, this is, you know why I know? Because we've seen Jasmine's friends. We know what Jasmine is. We've seen the party bus and the sex talk and her butt. You know, like, we've seen all of that. So there's not a, I mean, who do you think you are that she's going to, like, come and be like, my new best friend is Michelle, Dana's wife. Like, no, Dana. I haven't seen such a rebrand from like whatever to like Kylie fucking Jenner is doing a rebrand where she's going, like she went from like whatever, cosplaying as like Black China to now having like a weird chin implant and like wants to be like kind of like Lily Rose Depp, you know, like she, and so I don't know. Everything is so calculated. I feel like it's the same thing. Like, I don't believe you. I know who you are. You know?
I'm looking at Lily.
I've been knowing.
Step.
We've seen it. Yeah. Anyway. She's Johnny's, with the French. Anyway, so, mom. So then basically they're crying, they're BFF, and Dana comes and talks some sense into Gino and is like, just so you know, the woman that we all hate, that we think is horrible for you, might actually leave you and we're concerned. We're supposed to be like, yeah.
I guess I'm so gullible. I was like, oh my God, thank God Michelle and Dana are finally on Jasmine's side. And Michelle's tears were so real because she understands too, because she has children. And so then she understands that Jasmine just wants to get back to her kids. And Michelle is completely like, yeah, he should spend the money. Like, I don't understand like what the issue is. And she's like, he won't. He says that, you know, he can't afford it. And she's like, well, I'm going to talk to Dana. It's such a like suburb wife thing to do. I'm going to talk to my husband and have my husband talk to his cousin because this isn't right. And I don't want Jasmine to go because she's my friend. Then
I know
Then the next scene we have is they're going to go to the photographer who did their wedding to her studio in order to look at the pictures. And Jasmine shows up and listen, I'm going to tell you right now, as soon as Jasmine,
you tell me.
I saw her, I was like, oh my God, why didn't Jasmine do her hair? I mean, this is the first thing I noticed. And then the outfit wasn't Jasmine style outfit. She really got into character. If this is fake. She didn't do her hair. She wore an outfit that didn't have any like accessories or anything, like a belt or anything. She didn't wear heels. She did not look like herself. Her eyeliner looked like crazy. So she comes in. I mean, method acting. She sits down and Gino is trying to be positive. And Jasmine's like, this is beautiful. That day I was so happy. Look at my hair. It doesn't look like it did now. And then we have a scene in a confessional where she's also still crying. And she's like, the stress in making my alopecia. And we can see the alopecia. We can see it. We can see the spot.
We can see it. We can see it. And I felt bad for her, you know, like.
Me too.
No, I mean, you know, and I just, but I also can't believe that this man who doesn't have any money thought it'd be okay to marry this woman and also quit his job within like this, and she can't work for the next 5 months. Like, doesn't that seem fishy?
Yes. I just don't believe that he did it. I think he went on a leave of absence. But yeah, it is a stupid thing to do on a whole budget. And now, after seeing the scene with him and Dana, I'm like, oh, he does have the money. He just doesn't want to spend it on this. He drew a line in the sand when it came to giving Jasmine things. And this didn't make it on the other side. It sounds crazy, but like,
yeah, this didn't make it on the other side. It was like, he did a pros and con list.
Yeah.
And there was just too many cons.
Yeah, and he was just like, no, I'm not doing it. He still wants Jasmine to share the blame. Because he's like, if she was so interested in her kids coming, why didn't she make sure that her kids, she could have done her own research, I guess is what he's saying. She could have done her own research?
Or she could have paid for it herself?
Like, I just don't know. How was she supposed to know that there were places on the application where he could have put the kid's name? I'm just trying to think of the type of application it is. Did it say spouse's dependence? Did it say something? And he was like, I don't feel
that. You think that he was like, look, listen, I'll give you $10,000 and you can either spend it on a lawyer or you can let me do it. Stop talking about it. And you can spend it on plastic surgery. And then two blinks later, it was all like in her boobs, in her face, and then that's what he's talking about secretly.
Oh gosh, I don't know.
Okay,
I don't know. But did you love their fast ride around the block? Oh, I needed this. Guys are so stressed out. That was so fun.
I mean, I didn't like it. I like your impression of it, you know, but like,
so awful. It was such a stupid scene. I mean, the man has a brush out, brushing down his car. I was like, has your car been sitting underneath the tree, sir? Like, why don't you just, what is happening? Why are you brushing the shit out of your car right now? But anyways, you know who agrees with Jasmine? Dana agrees with Jasmine. And that's when I think Gino knows he don't fuck it.
Yeah, I mean, because they hate, again, they're supposed to hate that person. And for some reason now they love her. So if that's what's happening, then he knows. You know, but could you marry someone so cheap? Like, could you marry someone? Yeah. The minute you found out, you'd be like, oh.
Yeah,
To my face, you're going to be like, you're going to deny me my kids, but at the same time, I think what's so shitty about it is that for him to have such a like laissez-faire attitude about it and for her to stay makes it feel like he really thinks that she doesn't care that much about her kids. And the fact that
did you say laissez-faire or laissez-faire?
I said probably wrong, but I meant laissez-faire or laissez-faire. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. I just heard laissez-faire and I was like, what? He had an affair?
Honey, it's been a laissez-faire.
Okay, sorry.
Basically, so Yeah, we'll see what happens, but I think there's going to be some sort of miracle, whether or he'll just like pay the money and get like, you know, like there's going to be like some sort of right to this, you know, like, and I think it's going to be like a Machina moment. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, he like, Jasmine, wait up. And he's like running behind her as she like walks feverishly down the street. I mean, listen, the alopecia got me. I feel the stress. Like if he allows her hair to fall out over this, fuck him.
I did love her just crying, being like, I have to tell them that there is no happy life in Panama. I'm sorry, no happy life in America. You know, like.
Yeah. She's like, I failed to trick this white man into bringing me and my children to the U.S. I failed them.
I think it's suspect that he was like, you know what? I definitely don't need those kids right away. But I definitely want kids. But not yours. Yeah. Not the ones that you already have.
Yeah. Because he doesn't know what like, to do with them. He's going to be too awkward.
He can't afford them.
Yeah, he can't afford them.
I mean.
Yeah, he can't.
He can't afford them.
Yeah, he can't. You're right. I keep saying it. I just am like so upset.
I don't understand. You're right. Like, you know how braces are like so expensive. And I mean, like, not every kid comes out with really great teeth, you know?
Oh, wow.
You think every kid comes out with great teeth?
No, I just wasn't a part of the braces gang. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's crazy. I'm telling you, you're weird. Well, it's because you have good teeth. It's very strange to just have good teeth.
Yeah.
Especially you suck your thumb and stuff like that. You're wild.
I don't have good teeth.
You look crazy. I think you do.
Oh, thank you. But it just wasn't something that my dad was ever going to do. And my mom wasn't interested, but you know who did get braces? So I. Now, you know who doesn't need them? Wasani. Wasani has good teeth.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, you like him.
Okay. Thank you. Let's move on to, anything else about them?
No, I don't.
Kobe and Emily. You guys, Kobe is so happy to be home. Like, he is doing all the things. And I know, because I'm in California right now, and I did nothing and a lot. It was very interesting what I did. Like, it was like, nothing. It was just like a lot. So he, though, is on all the things right now. He wants to get back to his peoples, his friends, but mainly he does want to get dreads, and he doesn't trust anyone in Salinas to do it for him. So, as he should not. He goes to the barber, and his friends meet him there. I don't know, he has one friend's name Valerie and one friend's name Apophilus or something. Like, just very interesting names.
Oh. Aloysius or something like that?
Aloysius. Aloysius or some very interesting name that I'm sure means something in someone else's language.
Yeah. I mean, there's Aloysius is a French name. Like, I forgot that song, right? Doesn't that sound like
Alouette, that song?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I feel like maybe like Outkast had a song and they said the word Aloysius in it. Like, I just don't know.
Yeah, it's like, that's like Aloysius. I can't remember where that's like culturally embedded in my like DNA in some way, but I'll look it up. Anyway, I loved this. Yeah, he's going to twist his hair and then it's going to start into dreads. And then when he's in the confessional, we can already like jump cut, which is kind of fun to see like, oh yeah, the thing that we are seeing now is exactly how it looks. And then his friends just come to hang out while he gets it done. Cause they're like, obviously he's like only there for whatever, you know, forever. Uh-huh, how long. Uh-huh,
uh-huh. So the friends are there and they're talking and they immediately go in on how is it with this white lady. Ooh. We know that American women, they are very bossy and many, you know, just like going in, and he's just like, no, we're great. And the truth is that I'm with an American woman, so I gotta acclimate to the way it is. Now, I don't enjoy this narrative that African women are submissive, because I know not a submissive African woman ever in my life. But it's interesting that they are like, oh, you know, I could have my food on the table when I get home. I can do this. I can do that. And I'm like, yeah, and that all sucks for the wife who has to do all the things. Like, take care of you, take care of the kids, and take care of the house. Like, that's a lot. So at least, I mean, I think that him and Emily have a good relationship and they seem to get along well. And she really cares. And that's what he says. He's like, she's very loving. Like, she, you know, does a lot for me. Yes, she has strong opinions and she wants her opinions to be, but it's not, it's interesting because this idea that a man can't be a man unless a woman steps back is crazy to me. And that's what they're trying to push right now. Like, Kobe is not allowed to be the man in his full power and potential because his wife wants to talk to him and has opinions too. Like, that is crazy. So the fact that they're perpetuating this, it was really stupid and interesting to me. But I do think that Kobe did defend her. What do you think?
I thought he did a great job of, like, being like, this is what's, I'm happy. The most important thing is I'm happy. And, you know, like, he could just be like, oh, I feel like my voice is very heard and I feel confident. And then just shut them up, you know. But he's so sweet and gentle natured. He's just kind of smiley on TV, you know. Like, sometimes I wish he'd be a little more assertive. But maybe that's his, I think that he is a little docile, you know. Yeah. But I don't think it's bad. You know, I think that he's lovely, you know, and not everyone wants, you know, I think that he is happy. And I think that it's hard because we're living under her dad's roof. So, like, he's like,
I think he's agreeable.
Yeah. I agree.
And that's what she needs. She needs somebody who isn't going to try to, like, tell her to shut up every 5 minutes because that's not going to work for her.
No,
I think sometimes she doesn't allow him room to breathe. And that just is on him to, you know, speak up for himself in a way that isn't tied to his masculinity, more so just tied to him as a human and her as a human, you know. Yes. So anywho, so that scene happens, and then the next scene he goes back to the house, picks her up, and they go on a date, and they go to a spa and they have some jerky type food. And yeah, she, you know, is making some demands of him to open the door for her and make the chair. Well, he does a little bit, and she's like, well, if we're going to be here, let's do it all. And that is just Emily. That's the part of her that we got annoyed with in her first season, right?
Yes, yes, of course, yeah. She knows we need a little of her being this way. So I think that she's giving it to us. You know, we get this date. She's, like, upset, or, like, you know, she's nitpicking or whatever. Like, she's, I think that she's doing a good job of, like, being annoying but not being mean, or being she's being annoying but she's not being, like, hateable.
Yes. Yes, that's a really, you know, good way to put it.
Yeah, like, what do you think of that beef jerky? Spicy beef jerky. Isn't that what it was?
It was, yeah, something tendon or whatever. I didn't think anything of it.
Oh, okay.
I'll be honest. What did you think of it?
I want to try it.
Yeah, I know. No. I laughed.
I thought, I'm, I want, like, to try
leave
it.
Leave it to Chris to, like, see the food and then want to talk about the food. So I didn't like the fake fight about how come you didn't defend me to your friends. And I think his friends are getting in his ear a little bit. Like, I need for every couple who's been married and have two kids to be a little bit more stronger in their understanding of what their spouse did. Like, this, or stronger in understanding that your spouse isn't going to turn on you after one conversation with friends back home. Like,
yes,
they turned on you because they already felt this way and their friends gave them permission.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So, like, this whole thing of, like, I think his friends are getting in his ears. No, I hate that narrative. I hate that tactic and narrative that storytellers on reality TV do.
Yes, I agree. You know, yeah, like, this is a biding time before we get into her being even more annoying for more wedding stuff. Like, you know, and like him just twisting his hair or whatever is, like, going to be nothing when she, like, we are going to be hyper-focused on how she takes in all the beautiful culture and cultural aspects of this wedding. We are going to be like, what's your fucking face like? Now, we know, because we're hot off of, what's that annoying girl's? The clairvoyant Claire Danes from the other
Claire
one.
Claire
Kim
from India.
I hate
India Kim.
Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. Like, we know what it's like to have, like, a horrible pouty brown white girl with like not nary a chin be upset when she is being lavished with culture and color and flavor and spices and love and warmth over many days? We know what it's like to watch that and be like, are you? I hate you. And so Emily, I think, is because she's also season two, knows that. And I don't think Emily wants the hate. I think that Emily in her life wants to be like Manuel and Ashley, basically unproblematic, except for whatever their like little situations are. Because Emily has three kids with him and Emily's not a bad person. I think that Emily truly, and also I think that Emily loves this person, obviously, whatever. I mean, if they're together, I don't care. Like she loves this person, right? So I think that we're going to get Emily kind of being a little awkward and giving us a lot in the confessionals of being like, I really value his culture or whatever. And then having her be like, oh, is this the hat? This one?
Yeah.
You think it's going to be a little much or no? You think it's what I'm going to have to wear? Like you're going to, I think that's what you're going to get.
Yeah. Cause that hat on her was crazy, but yes, I do think that we're going to get that. And I hated her, her first season. I hated her. And I was like, I felt bad at how much I talked so much shit about her. And I feel like if I was talking shit about her, then the audience went in, and I actually applaud her for coming back to the franchise. And then doing a revamp, you know, with her image, not unlike Kylie.
Thank you for allowing me the Kylie situation. I've been thinking about it for a long time. Okay, so are we done?
That's it.
Okay, well, here we are. What an episode, you know, fulls of highs and lows and, you know, people we can't even see and people that just leave. However, it's been just great. And thank you so much for spending any time with us at all, much less the following, or past, sorry, 40 minutes and the following lives that you have in front of you, because now we're best friends and you don't leave us. Remember what Natalie said? You don't divorce family. So if you want, you can absolutely follow us on social media. We are at DocuSweeties, wherever you go to scroll and think about people. We are on Instagram. We are on TikTok. We are on X. We are on Facebook, the DocuSweeties podcast Facebook group. At the same time, if you'd like to just like send us money because you like us and because you're like, we need help and I'm going to help you with my money if you feel that way. And believe me, it's a great way to feel. Tell us how.
You can join us on patreon.com/DocuSweeties for $10 a month. You get exclusive content such as a live every first Monday of the month, as well as the episode almost as soon as we're done recording it. And that's some good stuff. And the visuals of what you're listening to. So if you are at all interested in that, or you would just like to support us because you're like, these girls are hilarious, I want to see them get to the top, you could do so at patreon.com/DocuSweeties again for $10 a month. But that's it. And we like you guys. We love you guys. And we'll talk to you later.
Bye. Bye.